And now a reading from the Gospel of Mark. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock amidst the storm, and our Redeemer. Amen. It's been a tough week in Texas. 2 weeks ago, I stood before you with a severe winter storm gathering out on the horizon. And we were preparing, just like we always do down here, by buying an extra half-gallon jug of milk and a pound of hamburger meat for a pot of chili. We had no idea. We had no idea what stress this storm would put on our infrastructure. We had no idea how strained our utilities would be. We had no idea not only how cold it was going to get, but how cold we were going to get also. And we had no idea just how vulnerable we really were. And so how beautiful it was to see so many helping in so many wonderful ways. I saw Sunday school teachers opening their homes to members and their children. I saw staff rallying around each other to make sure everyone on our team was warm and dry and at least had a place to shower and to shave. I saw two of our beloved Broadwayers, Rigo and Laura Downey, faithfully driving around East Texas, seeing the shut-in sick on backcountry roads that even Bob Phillips has never been on. As a visiting nurse, Laura was being paid. Rigo was not. And neither were the two Good Samaritans who came to pull them out of the ditch after they had slipped off the road. Then they told them that they could stay the night if they needed. I saw medics helping the homeless to shelter. I saw firefighters shutting off water to houses. I saw college students squeegeeing the halls of a storm-battered church. And I saw the humane reaching out to save sea turtles on the beaches down south. And I heard one plumber in my own house, fixing my own furnace. Say he prayed with his wife and his children around the breakfast table that morning that he might be able to help somebody somewhere that day. He did. I heard and saw all of this. And I saw something else above all else. I saw our need for each other, our desperate need for one another. In a crisis like the one we just went through, we realize that we're all in this together. We realize that we are connected, or at least ought to be. We realize that other people need us and that we need other people. In a crisis, we see this crystal clear. When the storm is overhead, we understand it completely. And we've understood it this week. But what about when the storm passes and the crisis is over? What do we do then? Do we just go on about our business because, well, we were spared? Or do we take it as an inflection point to think on why it was that some of us were spared and others were not? And do we take it as a moment to think on what our responsibility is to those who didn't fare quite so well as we? We know that the effects of this disaster will fall more heavily on the shoulders of those with the fewest of means. This is why in a few moments, our Director of Community Ministries and Partnerships, Peter Nelson, is going to talk a little about what Broadway is doing to address the needs in our neighborhood. It is so vitally important that a church like ours act compassionately and with self-giving in a time like this. But as much as we will do, one single church can only do so much. One group of individuals can only do so much. So there comes a time when we all have to call upon the government to do its job, to help do for the collective what the individual cannot do alone. Right now, in Texas, that of course means shoring up the power grid so that we are better protected both during a hot summer and also a harsh winter. And it also means getting help for those whose homes and houses of worship were hit hardest by both the fierceness of the storm and also the failure of the utility. See, that's the thing. We will hear this called an act of God. But if I were God, I think I might be saying, hey, wait a minute. Don't blame me. You had everything you needed. You could have foreseen your vulnerabilities. And you should have done more to protect your most vulnerable. And that is a refrain that might be said about us in Texas over and over again. That for too long we've been too calloused to the needs of the most vulnerable among us. For too long we've simply said, everybody for themselves. That has got to change. We've got to do better at looking after one another. This means greater investment in all of our public institutions and infrastructures, not just in our utilities, but also in our roads, in our schools, and in the welfare. When did that word become a bad word? And who made it so? In the welfare, not only of our poor, but of us all. What happened this week affected us all, and we are all responsible. The truth of the matter is that what we have seen in the last week is actually attributable to decades upon decades of philosophical movement away from a sense of public, common trust institutions towards privately owned, market-driven enterprises. But in the end, the market didn't save us. In the end, it literally left millions of us out in the cold. And it could happen again. So we've got to commit ourselves to regaining a sense of appreciation for the purposes of government and regulation and the value and care of the common good. We've got to reaffirm our commitment to the public good. And as one of my most insightful Texas Baptist colleagues said this week, we have to realize we don't live in an economy. We live in a society. Indeed, we live in a community. The scriptures this morning speak of community. In the Genesis reading, there is the community of people and animals all together there in the ark. Together they survive the storm. And it was those people who were caring for those sea turtles down south who were living out a very, very beautiful testament and testimony to the truth and applicability of this ancient story. And today's gospel lesson teaches us about community also, though admittedly somewhat surprisingly. Jesus is out in the wilderness for 40 days, a sojourn in which we usually imagine him to be all alone. But he was not alone. He too was together there with the animals, the scripture says, and the angels, the messengers, came and were waiting on him. In other words, he too was with creation, and he too was being helped. He too needed to be helped. We all do. Even the toughest among us. I've had an old Hank Williams Jr. song stuck in my head all week long. A country boy can survive. Well, maybe. But you know, Jesus was a country boy. And he was a carpenter, which means he knew how to do things in a crisis. And above all, he was the Son of God. He had all of that going for him in the wilderness. And yet, he still needed others. He couldn't have made it alone. Nobody can. My old seminary professor, Stanley Hauerwas, a communitarian, liked to say, God gave us belly buttons to remind us that we came from somewhere and wouldn't be where we are without somebody else. We like to say we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, but nobody really does that completely, not even in Texas, and not even Jesus. Now, let me say something more about Jesus that is important and comes by way of commentary on where it is that we found ourselves, not only in this week's storm, but really in the whole past year of trying to live through this pandemic. A few weeks ago, someone on Facebook posted, "We keep saying we're all in the same boat, but we're not. We're all in the same storm, but not in the same boat. Some are in boats, some are in ships, and some are in little dinky life rafts just trying to hold on." That's the story of Noah. He made it because he had a boat. One single big boat to ride out the storm. And when the storm came, he just sailed away. But contrast that with what happened when the storm came up and hit Jesus's boat. The Bible is very keen to say that Jesus' boat wasn't alone. Other boats were with him, the Bible says. And I think it's the Bible's kind of way of telling us something about community and about togetherness and about making sure that everybody in every boat can make it through the storm. That's what it's all about. not just me and my family, but all of us as a community. The old Cato word Texian means friend. Our friends really stepped up this week. So did strangers. We saw a lot of kindness, and we encountered a lot of angels. They were praying that they could be a help to somebody, and they were. And we are so very grateful. But the question we are faced with now is this one. Does our friendship and our kindness extend beyond the crisis? Do they extend beyond charity and rescue? Do they move us towards a sense of community, towards the kind of just community where everybody has a boat? Some bigger and some smaller, of course, but none too small to survive the storm with the family on board, maybe some friends. Some friends may be even furry and four-legged, or maybe with a hard shell on the back. That's the vision. The Bible this morning calls it a covenant. That's simply another word for a community. It's the community of God. It's the vision that is set before us, that all might be saved and well. And I'm wondering, do we see it? I was asked the other day, what does the word equity mean to you? My answer is that it means no one person or family or group of people have too much while others have too little of all that is necessary, not only to survive, but even to flourish in life. And to get there, to become a just and equitable and truly friendly community means this: from him who has much, much will be required. And from each according to her ability, to each according to her needs. And, as Jesus put it, one neighbor doing unto his or her neighbors what he or she would wish the neighbors to do unto them. We've been good neighbors this week. Mighty good neighbors. Don't let that end just because the storm is past. There'll be more storms to come. We can bet on it. And while we're wagering, why don't we go ahead and bet on kindness and community too. We won't regret it. And as Jesus said, the measure which we give will in the end be the measure which we shall receive as well. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, and Mother of us all, and all of God's people in God's community, then said, Amen.